Our first scripture lesson can be found in your bulletin today. It comes from selected verses of Psalm 90. Let us share in this reading together and listen for God's word. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you have formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke, the 5th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Once, when Jesus was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest. And as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. The word of God for the people of God. When I was a little girl, I remember seeing commercials on TV for hand lotions by companies like Jergens and Vaseline. They always featured a perfectly manicured pair of hands, even toned and smooth, no wrinkles or age spots, no unsightly scars or calluses or veins showing. And of course, buying and using this lotion would give you the same soft, lovely hands that you saw on TV. A few years later, I was surprised to learn that there were actually hand models, people whose hands matched some predetermined standard of shape and style and beauty, and who made their living quite literally with their hands, posing for pictures and filming commercials like those I remembered. In fact, my cousin Dan even worked as a hand model for a company here in Westchester County that published do-it-yourself home repair books that were sold at Home Depot. 2 weekends ago, when we were on vacation up in Canada, we visited with our friend, Joanne Pickett, the potter, who has made our baptismal pitcher and some of the communion ware that we use here in worship. Joanne also makes her living with her hands. But they couldn't look more different than the flawless hands in those TV commercials. Joanne is a petite woman in her late 60s, but her hands are a work of art. Strong, capable, expressive, worn with age, knotty, well-veined and muscled, spattered with clay and dirt, especially in the creases of her knuckles and under her fingernails. Joanne showed us one of the pieces that she had just finished creating, a large crock about 2 feet tall and 1 foot in diameter, with a special grooved lip on top that holds a matching lid in place. The crock will be used for fermentation, for making things like sauerkraut and the Korean dish kimchi. It took 20 pounds of clay to make and throw that pot, and it had to be thrown in 2 separate sections, which were then carefully and seamlessly pieced together. I had a hard time imagining someone of Joanne's small stature working with so much clay and the precision that it required on a wheel that rotates so quickly. But her hands conveyed the strength required to create such a hefty piece. How often do we take the time to look at our hands, to consider the stories they tell and the many ways they enable us to live our lives? I'd like to invite you to do that right now. Put your hands palm down on your lap and look at the backs of your hands. What do you see? You don't have to share what you see, but what do you see? Look at your hands. Now turn them palm up and look again. Do you see the lines and fingerprints that are uniquely yours? Do you see scars or scabs or age spots? Are there ridges, grooves, or indentations created by a wedding band or the way you hold a pencil or your knitting needles? What stories do your hands tell about you? Imagine that you are looking at your hands through God's eyes, and I don't want to see you looking at me. I want you to look at your hands. And imagine that you are looking at your hands through God's eyes. What words would you use to describe them? Now I'd like you to think back for a moment about everything your hands have done since this time yesterday morning. Think back 24 hours. Think about everything that your hands have been engaged in doing. Rubbing the sleep out of your eyes, washing, dressing, preparing and eating food, driving, typing on the computer or texting on your phone, housework, yard work, playing music, knitting, writing, lifting, carrying, pointing, clapping, walking the dog, petting the cat, shaking a hand, touching a loved one, praying. When we really stop and think about it, our hands are the primary means through which we do just about everything. Our minds may give the directions, but it's our hands that put them into action and carry them out. Our hands even help us communicate. Blind people use their hands to read Braille. Deaf people use their hands to sign. We all know people who speak as much with their hands as with their mouths. All of us point and use gestures to help convey our message. Sometimes our hands communicate even quicker than our voices do. I remember riding in the car one time with Chip's mom when she was driving. The car in front of her did something unexpected, and immediately her right hand shot out in front of the person in the passenger seat before her mouth even had time to say, "Watch out." Anyone who has ridden in a car with me in the passenger seat as the navigator knows that you should follow whatever directions my hands point in rather than what my mouth says. I've learned that although the directions sometimes get scrambled up between my brain and my mouth, my hands are always right and will point in the correct direction. Or think about when you've been with someone who is going through a difficult time. You may not know what to say to them, but I'll bet one of your first instincts is to reach out and touch them, to hold their hand, to squeeze their shoulder, to give them a hug. Whether we are aware of them or not, how we use our hands when we are communicating is a huge part of our nonverbal communication, which makes up well over half of what and how we say what we say. If you combine all this nonverbal communication with all of the other things that we do with them, our hands and what we do with our hands speak volumes about who we are and what's important to us. Which brings us to our gospel story today. Here we find Jesus traveling from town to town, city to city, doing his work of teaching and preaching, healing and lifting up the poor, the oppressed, and anyone searching for good news or meaning and purpose in life. As he was walking around one of those cities, Jesus was accosted by a man with leprosy. Now, leprosy back in Jesus' day was most likely not what we know of today as Hansen's disease. Leprosy was a broad term applied to anyone with a mysterious illness, especially one that manifested itself on a person's skin or appearance. Due to the lack of medical understanding, all such afflicted folk were viewed with fear and suspicion and were segregated from the rest of society. They were considered unclean, and no one was to go near them, certainly not to touch them, much less speak or do business with them. Should they be cured of their disease, such people had to undergo an elaborate cleansing ritual by the priests in order to be returned to society. So it's a little unusual to find a leper here in the midst of a city, approaching anyone, let alone Jesus. But here he is, bowing face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, begging Jesus, if he chooses, to make him clean. Now, there are a lot of interesting things to pay attention to in this very short little story from Luke's gospel. But today, I want you to watch Jesus' hands. His hands respond first. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. Then he says, "I do choose, be made clean." Jesus reached out and touched the leper with his hand. That one gesture, that one action Jesus performed with his hand communicates volumes to us about who Jesus is and what he came here to do. Jesus came to earth to touch our lives, not just in the clean, socially acceptable places, but in the shadows, in the pain, in the isolated and painful places too. Jesus came to heal us of all of the things that separate us from God and from one another. Jesus came to reconnect us to life in relationship with God and with the human community. Jesus was so committed to this purpose that he was willing to risk becoming unclean himself, which he did once he touched that leper. He was willing to take on himself the isolation and shame, the poverty and pain of leprosy and being an outcast, so that the leper and so that we can experience new life, new hope, new possibilities for meaning and purpose in our lives. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus did a lot of other things with his hands, too. He blessed and broke bread with his disciples. He ate with people in power and with sinners. He fed crowds of hungry people and total strangers. Jesus picked up little children and held them on his lap. When Peter was trying to walk on water, Jesus grabbed his hand and kept him from drowning. Jesus calmed storms and overturned tables of the money changers in the temple. Jesus lifted up his hands in prayer to God and in blessing on others. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet with his hands, drying them with a towel. Everywhere he went, Jesus used his hands to feed and to heal, to teach and to bless, to confront in some cases, and to comfort in others, to do the work that God had sent him to do. So how about our hands? What do they tell us about who we are, what we believe, and what our purpose is here as human beings and as disciples of Jesus Christ? Just like Jesus, we have a choice. Actually, we have an overwhelming array of choices for what we can do with our hands and our lives. And yet the gospel story calls us to look around and identify the needs of other people and the world, and then to reach out and touch those needs with the healing, nourishing, guiding, challenging, comforting, liberating, blessing hands of God. As Spanish mystic and theologian Teresa of Avila said back in the 16th century, Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. As you look at your hands today, and as you reflect on the many different things we do every day with our hands, may you be more aware of the choices you have about how you use your hands and your life. May you see your hands as hallowed, holy, set apart to do the work of God wherever your life takes you, in your homes and workplaces, at school, at church, in the community, and the world. May your hands, may our hands, be the hands of Christ, offering God's love and grace, God's justice and peace, God's joy and hope to all the world. Amen.